When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Bright shining as the sun. I made you wait for it. I've been itching to sing the last verse all month. I know Tim's been waiting to play the modulation on the organ. We've traveled through making intentions, through reckoning with despair and our feeling of wretchedness, through the work for justice, and I've made you wait for it. Joy, hope, bright shining as the sun. Does it take 10,000 years, or as Mary Oliver says, maybe it just takes 60, before we relearn what society wants us to forget to be happy and love everything? Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not where I started. I'm not 60 yet, but maybe ministry is a way to borrow the wisdom of your elders. Maybe church itself, even one of the few places of multi-generational community where 25-year-olds and 95-year-olds sit next to each other. Maybe this is a way to borrow some wisdom, some hallelujah, some well-earned joy in the bright shining of the sun. Even if she hadn't died last week, Mary Oliver would have been my choice for this morning. The poet of amazement, of noticing, the poet of joy, this world. I would like to write a poem with nothing fancy in it, but how? When the rocks glitter and the sun makes everything shine. Walking down the street in downtown Louisville, Merton wonders, do they know? Do they know that they are shining as the sun? What is grace? It's when the red bird lands on the branch in the snow and you breathe out, say, oh yes, I remember. It's when a song you love comes on the radio just when you needed something to sing along to. It's when a friend or a lover reaches out and touches you on the arm because they know you need it and welcome it. And you remember someone really does care for you. It's when a new day dawns once more, the gift is given a chance to start one more time. It's when the wild geese call to you, when the wild geese call to you, and you stop trying to be so hard. It's when the wild geese call to you and you stop trying so hard to be worthy of love, to repent all your sins and everyone else's too, and you let the soft body of your body love what it loves. When you remember that you have a place in the family of things, that you have a place in the family of things. You. Christians would say this, grace is when you are reminded that you are loved by God, a child of God, worthy and loved, giver of eternal gladness, melt the sin and sorrow away. And if you believe in God, I want you to hear the central message of universalism for you. You are loved by God. You are worthy and loved as you are. And if you don't believe in God or you're not sure, I want you to hear the central message of universalism for you. You are loved. You are worthy. You have a place in the family of things as you are. This is what grace is. And it's everywhere. It's in the natural world, of course, even on cold, snowy days, the crystals of ice glitter. At night, when the snow falls, the earth grows quiet and beautiful. It's in community. It's in singing and laughing and eating together. It's in compassion. It's in truth-telling when the truth needs to be told. It's in common work for the common good. It's in a new friend and one you've known your whole life. It's in the generations, the way those who loved us before we were known made a way out of no way, crossed the sea, survived the pain, kept at it. And it's in the forgiveness we can offer to those who went before, to love them and let them go. It's in faith in the confidence, hope, and the heart that believes in the rising sun, the growing love, even if we can't say exactly what it all means. We believe in a song that sings in us, sing to the power of the faith within. And it's in doubt, in wondering, in the search for what is true in our time, the quest, the restlessness, the drive. It's in the surprise, the dashing hair, the great book, the unexpected compliment, the learning you didn't want to do, but you grew from it anyway. It's in the marker on the street corner, always there, finally noticed, reminding you that we are all shining like the sun. And it's in you. It's when you find that inner strength you didn't know you had. It's when you finally forgive yourself and start loving that soft body. It's when you make an insight that changes your life or the life of another. It's when you quit the bad habit and start the one that gives life and joy. And it's when you don't beat yourself up so much. It's when you breathe in peace. It's when you sing the old song with the new spirit. Sometimes it's when you let go, and sometimes when you hold on. It's in the conscience that troubles you and makes you want to do something to make the world better, and it's in the kindness that lives in your bones and in the tips of your fingers. Grace is everywhere, at every moment, the gift already given. What is required is noticing, the act of awareness. This is what Mary Oliver and Wendell Berry and Thomas Merton have to teach us, that the beauty of the grasshopper and the still water and the faces around you is always there. You have to notice. You have to go down there and lie by the water in the fields. You have to look and listen, and there is grace. The grace that says, love was always here for you. Beauty was always here for you. Hope was always here for you. You don't have to be good enough to earn it. Let me say that again, because I'll tell you that there's nothing that I struggle with more than that sentence. You don't have to be good enough to earn beauty, joy, or love. It's always already there for you. It's always there for you. You are enough. You just have to notice. You do not have to crawl through the desert on your knees. You are loved. You are beautiful. You are joy. The world is love. The world is beauty. The world is joy. Grace is freely given, bright, shining as the sun. Now, sometimes it is behind the clouds. Sometimes things are hard. People are malicious. Evil invades the heart. Endings hurt. And tragedy strikes. I'm not selling puppies and rainbows. You all know me better than that. I do not mean to gloss over the challenges of life and this world that we share together. Not for a minute. And yet, one of the great spiritual truths is that often in our challenges, in our struggle and loss, that a deeper grace is revealed. I know that in the hardest moments of my life, when I despair for the life I live grows in me, when I finally got so down low that I asked for help, when I got all the way down, that's when grace came. From friendship, and then finally, after time, from within. Last week, Judy shared a story in her testimony from an AA meeting when one man said to another, "We will love you until you can love yourself." What grace. What grace. So I don't mean to minimize challenge, and suffering is not redemptive. We are not made to suffer. But when things are hard, things are bleak, When you go down to the still water, when you see the beauty in another face, when you ask for help, not because you are courageous, but because you're lost, grace may appear and you may be found. It may grab you and hold you and comfort you, love you until you can love yourself, bring you a sunrise, a song, a poem, a friend, and then you know the story isn't finished. So grace surprises you. It comes when you think nothing will come. Grace is surprise, and there's nothing you can do about that kind of grace. And also at the same time, there's another truth and another kind of grace, related but different, because what we feed matters. You can't control grace, wonder, or surprise, but you can feed your awareness of beauty, your love for the world, your sense of awe. You can make a choice about what you notice. Do we feed grace or grievance? Do we encourage love or fear? Do we nurture hope or cultivate despair? Some days I have wings, writes the poet. When you begin to see grace, moments of grace and kindness and beauty, large and small, when you become a bard of amazement, you start to notice, and you know what happens, don't you? You see more of it. You hear more of it. You feel more of it. There's no guarantee, but when you open your heart learns to open. When you let wonder in, wonder is everywhere. When you take a beauty walk, the world becomes more beautiful. When you start to think of each moment as a moment of grace, each breath as a prayer, each act of kindness as a miracle, the whole world will shift. Your whole world will shift. I know I don't do it all the time. Not even close. I get caught in the back and forth, the news cycle, the petty frustrations, and the large ones. We all do. And the reason I come to church is that the choir sings, and I see your faces, and we sing together, and one of you tells a story, and I remember that grace is right here, right now. The beauty and love and hope is true too, and you are each shining like the sun. A new day dawns in our hearts. May the light of love, which here shines upon each face, guide our journey home. Our journey home to the place where we pay attention and are filled with awe, where justice rolls down like the waters, and where we remember that we are not alone, even in our wretchedness, and where we know deep in our hearts that we are loved, loved until we can love ourselves. You are amazing. The world is amazing. The stars, the birds, the laughter, the crystals of ice, the touch, the sympathy, the insight, the growth, and compassion and mercy, the fire, the longing, all amazing, all grace. Let it in, let it come, notice it and feed it, share it with the world, be amazing, and let us sing. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. As I wrote in this week's newsletter column, it's real important that we respect everybody's way of being in the world. So I want to invite you, if you'd rather not be touched this morning for any reason, to put your hands on your shoulders. Otherwise, if you wish, to join hands with one another for our blessings and benedictions. I will extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again. The words of our benediction from Mary Oliver's poem, Summer Day. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We'll sing together our closing blessings.